Chapter 8. Miscellaneous.
Ad hoc.
Ad hoc.
After the organization that has staged the parade for more than 150 years refused to permit gay groups to march under their own banner, Mayor David Dinkins handed control of the parade to an ad hoc group that favored including the gays.
Even with the tape delays necessitated by time differences, Costas will cover events as they happen, a high-wire act that will show off his considerable ad-lib talents.
Androgynous.
Androgynous.
For years, the androgynous singer Katie Lang was locked out of mainstream country.
God includes masculinity and femininity within himself without having sexual gender, Blush explains. But the God of the Bible is not androgynous.
Basket case.
Basket case. Sometimes called the world's richest basket case because of its wealth of such natural resources as teak and minerals, Burma needs foreign aid and investment to modernize.
Behemoth.
Behemoth.
After young Watson became chief executive in 1956, he transformed the manufacture of typewriters into the big blue behemoth of computing.
It is admittedly very difficult to do something while relying on the free market and trying to curb the statist Leviathan. But that is the narrow bridge on which the conservatives will have to fight.
Brass.
Brass.
He seldom hid his differences with GM's top brass, often phrasing his protests in barnyard epithets.
They will have to do without the household workers and car the state had provided to each. That's enough to make a bigwig take to his sickbed, but illness could be a problem too.
Buccaneer.
Buccaneer.
Rupert Murdoch, buccaneer owner of Fox and much else of the world's communications business, seemed to be a throwback to those spacious days, spacious for owners.
The HUD mess has joined the $300 billion savings and loan bailout and the ongoing Pentagon procurement investigation as a legacy of the freebooting Reagan years.
Buff.
Buff.
He was a drinker and a jazz buff, but he habitually cloaked himself in a grave manner. When he turned 60, Alan Bennett asked, but when was he anything else?
A proposal to Baudelaireize France's barn-burning anthem provokes an indignant mon dieu from traditionalists.
Bummer.
Bummer.
The idea of having but one life to lead has always been a bummer, but never more than it is for today's health-conscious audience.
Already, party lovers from New York City to Paris to Tokyo are booking rooms, making reservations, and hatching plans for the mega night. Those who don't start planning now may find themselves, on the night of nights, all dressed up with no place to go. And that would be quite a downer, sort of like watching all the nines on your car odometer roll over into zeros and having no one to share it with.
Chic.
Chic.
Miami has already become a chic hangout for the international sets.
Critics on the right called Avedon radical chic. Those on the left dismissed him as chic, period.
Cognoscenti.
Cognoscenti.
During the decade since, She Loves Me has become a closet favorite of theater insiders. At least the Cognoscenti have let the rest of the world in on the secrets.
After last month's big quakes, Los Angeles wine connoisseur Dennis Overstreet realized that the next one might demolish his cellars. Party!
Cynosure.
Cynosure.
Nearly 6 feet tall, imperially slim and sleekly dressed, she is usually the cynosure of attention at any gathering. Deep six.
Deep six.
Says a relieved Republican, they've finally deep sixed the list of 12 legislative accomplishments and jettisoned the five pillars of reform.
During that time, songs were scrapped and replaced, sometimes more than once. Dialogue was rewritten, scenes were restaged, and a principal performer was fired.
Dexterous.
Dexterous.
The author's laconic prose manages to be both dexterous and sinister.
Through some adroit lawyering, Fall turned that mistake to a decisive advantage.
Donnybrook.
Donnybrook.
Unfortunately, it also became the symbol of what Israel and some of its supporters in Congress perceived as a betrayal. And they created a Donnybrook in Congress that I believed we could not afford to lose. Eclectic.
Eclectic.
Her taste runs also to arrangements of Chopin and Joplin, as well as to Japanese and Brazilian music. Part of an eclectic approach that is winning her fans around the world.
For nearly 40 years, Gordimer has spoken out against apartheid, that crazy quilt of laws and restrictions that enabled the white minority to control and suppress the country's black majority.
Egghead.
Egghead.
This is an Egghead coffee table book that all will discuss. Many will buy, yet few will manage to finish.
The Disney Merchant Ivory Alliance blends highbrow with nobrow.
Eureka.
Eureka.
The world may come to California thinking it is a magnificent playground, which it is. Eureka, says the state's motto, I have found it.
Put 31 of these plots on the walls of a museum, and eureka, you have an exhibition of colorful, exquisitely crafted designs that hold their own with many abstract paintings.
Galvanize.
Galvanize.
Nothing has galvanized today's anti-smoking activists as much as the Environmental Protection Agency report released a year ago that classified environmental tobacco smoke as a Class A carcinogen and estimated that 3,000 non-smokers die each year from lung cancer as a result of other people's smoke. Groundbreaking.
Groundbreaking.
In a groundbreaking decision, the Supreme Court affirmed a lower court ruling that gives a man the right not to become a father against his wishes.
His score for Ghosts may not be trailblazing music, but it is effective and, above all, singable.
Halcyon.
Halcyon.
Even with recent increases in federal and state fuel taxes, gasoline costs Americans 44% less in real terms than it did in 1980, and surprisingly 24% less than it did in the halcyon days of 1960, before anyone had heard of Saddam Hussein or OPEC. Haute cuisine.
Haute cuisine.
Even if ostriches don't become haute cuisine, investors are hoping the big birds achieve greater fame than a spot on Sesame Street.
La Mer Blanche in Vonnaz, France, was long a famous cuisine de femme restaurant, but it earned Michelin's 3-star rating only after Georges Blanc took over from his mother and began to dream up nouvelle haute cuisine.
Iconoclast.
Iconoclast.
As an iconoclast in a country of enforced artistic conformity, Schnittke represented for many of his Soviet countrymen a kind of artistic glasnost long before Gorbachev made it permissible.
Outrageous, iconoclastic, with warning shadows and baroque camera angles. Citizen Kane told future movie makers that anything was possible.
Jerry-built.
Jerry-built.
The Constitution is just a jerry-built thing and needs to be changed, and that's what Yeltsin wants to do.
Americans' impatience for quick-fix remedies resembles the frustration that drives inner-city youths to seize on illegal get-rich schemes. They want to cut corners, produce high yields, and not pay a price.
Kinky.
Kinky.
His current research involves the kinky pastime known as sploshing, the erotic act of dumping a plate of food on your loved one. Knee-jerk.
Knee-jerk.
There's a knee-jerk response on the part of minorities against national testing because we've suffered the most from them in the past.
He takes the measure of an issue and comes up with a gut response on whether a policy will fly.
Mainstay.
Mainstay.
A mainstay of Asian cuisines, soybeans can be boiled, canned, or processed as bean curd.
A bulwark against despair, a sanctuary of freedom, a subversive counterforce.
Besides seeking to buttress the yen, the Bank of Japan was trying to prevent an outbreak of inflation. Mankei.
Mankei.
If Clinton has often cribbed from Perot's text about the deficit and other issues, Perot keeps raising the standard to demonstrate that Clinton is only a reformer Mankei.
But the fatal flaw is that NATO membership isn't ensured, even if the wannabes demonstrate their worthiness.
Poo-poo.
Poo-poo.
Now Macy's, the 135-year-old department store, has announced its deal with Don Hewitt, the 70-year-old executive producer of 60 Minutes, to create a Macy's home shopping channel, an imitative idea that was instantly poo-pooed by the TV and retailing establishments.
The local poobahs of Washington share a consensus in favor of statehood for the capital.
Posh.
Posh.
And so Daniel, from the posh side of town, took on his first role and accent, that of the working-class lad.
Who gets a posh office, a lavish expense allowance, a devoted staff, and unlimited postage? Answer, any former Speaker of the House of Representatives.
Riffraff.
Riffraff.
Indeed, it seems part of the American dream to become rich enough to wrap oneself in so much tank-like armor that one barely feels the bump of the riffraff undertire.
At a recent speech, he read from some hate mail, "You are the lowest scum on earth," signed by an American patriot.
Sanguine.
Sanguine.
High taxes, unemployment over 10%, and an influx of immigrants have finally driven the normally sanguine Italians into a rage.
He was, as all who knew him agreed, a paragon of the phlegmatic temperament, a walking mirror whose reflections could not be argued with.
Then he scares you witless. Here come a noisy tyrannosaur and a fan-faced bilious dilophosaur. Terra incognita.
Terra incognita.
International TV programming is the great terra incognita for American viewers.
In Berlin, East Germans huddle over subway maps as they head into Western terra incognita, a place most of them know only from television. At other checkpoints, their cars pile up for miles on end.
Watershed.
Watershed.
In the vast arena of international commerce, the action will seem piddling, perhaps involving no more than $25 million in trade. But environmentalists will see it as a watershed event in the history of conservation. Whipping boy.
Whipping boy.
Just as some American politicians blame Japan for the recession, the U.S. is a popular whipping boy in Europe.
As Los Angeles's neighbors sink under smog, congestion, crime, and uncurbed development, they have made the city a whipping boy for all their woes.
White elephants.
White elephant.
Sequest DSV, NBC's new futuristic undersea adventure, has a big name backer, Steven Spielberg, and a big commitment from the network, which ordered 22 episodes sight unseen. But once critics got a look at its dreary pilot, most pegged the show as a seagoing white elephant.
So why are aerospace engineers around the world scrambling to build the next generation of this billion-dollar white elephant?
Whiz.
Whiz.
Only last April, there were similar shots of tennis whiz Monica Seles, who was stabbed in the back in the midst of a match by a virulent fan of her rival, Steffi Graf.
Defense Secretary-designate Les Aspin, 54, is a former whiz kid from Robert McNamara's Pentagon.
Willy-nilly.
Willy-nilly.
Clinton was clearly aware last week that he will be pulled willy-nilly into foreign affairs. Our administration will be forced to spend a lot of time on foreign policy, whether we want to or not.
Clusters of high-rise apartment buildings, able to house 250,000 tourists in all, rose helter-skelter on virgin slopes.
The Whipping Boy. Should anyone much care whether an American boy living overseas gets six vicious thwacks on his backside? So much has been argued, rejoined, and rehashed about the case of Michael Fay, an 18-year-old convicted of vandalism and sentenced to a caning in Singapore, that an otherwise sorry little episode has shaded into a certified international incident, complete with intercessions by the U.S. head of state. An affair that sometimes sounds, on editorial pages, equivalent to the abduction of Helen of Troy, has outraged American libertarians, even as it has animated a general debate about morality East and West, and the proper functioning of U.S. law and order. The Trojan War this is not. The wooden horse is in America's citadel.
which to all appearances is what Singapore wanted. The question of whether anyone should care about Michael Fay is idle. Though Singapore officials profess shock at the attention his case has drawn, they know Americans care deeply about the many sides of this issue. Does a teenager convicted of spraying cars with easily removable paint deserve half a dozen powerful strokes on the buttocks with a sopping wet bamboo staff? At what point does swift, sure punishment become torture? By what moral authority can America, with its high rates of lawlessness and license, preach to a safe society about human rights? Isn't the shipshape and affluent little city-state molded by Lee Kuan Yew a model of civic virtues?
Not quite the game of 20 questions, but close enough. The caning sentence has fascinated many Americans who had never heard of Singapore and perhaps could not tell Southeast Asia from Sweden on a map. It has concentrated minds wondrously on an already lively domestic debate over what constitutes a due balance between individual and majority rights. Too bad Michael Fay has become a fulcrum for this discussion. Not only does he seem destined to be pummeled and immobilized by an instrument of ordeal, but the use of Singapore as a standard for judging any other society, let alone the cacophonous U.S., is fairly worthless.
To begin with, Singapore is an offshore republic that tightly limits immigration. Imagine crime-ridden Los Angeles, to which Singapore is sometimes contrasted, with hardly any inflow of the hard luck, often desperate fortune seekers who flock to big cities. Imagine in the same way Jakarta or Shanghai. Beyond that, Singapore began its life as a British colony designed to serve as a shipping, administrative, and financial center. Today, it is a highly skilled society without the urban sprawl and rural poverty that afflict larger nations. An analog might be Manhattan, incorporated as a republic between the Battery and 96th Street, with its own flag, armed forces, and immigration controls.
Even without its government's disciplinary measures, Singapore, more than plausibly, would be much the same as it is now. An academic commonplace today is that the major factor determining social peace and prosperity is culture, a sense of common identity, tradition, and values. The house that Lee built is 76% ethnic Chinese, a people with one of the most self-disciplined cultures in the world. Prizing family, learning, and hard work, overseas Chinese have prospered wherever they have settled. Heavily Chinese Hong Kong is, granted, a somewhat messier place than Singapore, but without social engineering or the flogging of vandals, Hong Kong is still very safe and quite rich. Its crime rates, 1,522 reported offenses for every 100,000 people in 1992. Singapore's was 1,507.
And America's? Don't ask. Unlike Singapore, though, the U.S. today is a nation in search of a common culture, trying to be a universal society that assimilates the traditions of people from all over the world. Efforts to safeguard minority as well as individual rights have produced, as Lee charges, a gridlock in the justice system. America is not the pandemonium portrayed in the shock-addicted mass media, but its troubles stem more from the decay of family life than from any government failures. Few societies can afford to look on complacently. As travel eases and cultures intermix, the American experience is becoming the world's.
Singaporeans have every right to be proud of their achievements. Does that justify Michael Fay's sentence? A letter writer to the New York Times advised that six of the best, as he suffered at an English public, that is, private school, might cure all that ails American youth. Comparing Fay's sentence to a headmaster's paddling is fatuous. But then, as John Updike once noted, old boys of Eton and Harrow can often mistake a sports car for a woman or a birch rod for a mother's kiss. The pain from flaying with wet rattan, as it is done in Singapore, can knock a prisoner out cold.
The circumstances of this affair, evidently no Singaporean has ever been punished under the Vandalism Act for defacing private property, suggest that Singapore has used Fay as an unwilling point man in a growing quarrel between East and West about human rights. Several large Asian countries, China among them, argue that the U.S. has no business criticizing their own equally legitimate values.